God's love. He died upon the cross. I know it was the blood for me.
It had to be the blood.
It had to be the blood. It had to be the blood. It had to be the blood for me. One day when I was lost, he died upon the cross. It had to be the blood for me.
I'm glad it was the blood.
I'm glad it was the blood. I'm glad it was the blood. I'm glad it was the blood for me. One day when I was lost, he died upon the cross. I'm glad it was the blood.
Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each one. And to give everyone a very warm welcome in their service tonight. I know we're on the skeleton crew, but the Lord bless those that's here. And don't forget, next Sunday, we've only a service in the evening because the hall's not available. So we meet again next Sunday evening. Praise God. Technology. One thing about technology, as John says, it can give trouble. Technology can give trouble. And the Lord good, praise God. Let's turn to Matthew. Matthew's Gospel. And I know I've maybe preached on this line before, but I was thinking of preaching about demon possession. Oppression and possession, but then I was in the room again praying this evening and I just felt to bring this message. Five identifications of the true church is just to remind us what the true church is. And how many knows there's one true church? There's plenty of other names and everything as we heard this morning, but there's only one true church. Matthew 16, verse 16 to 18. And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I also say unto thee, Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. The revelation, it's what the church built on. God give Peter a revelation of who he was. And remember, the scripture says, No man can know him save whom the Son will reveal him. And no man can come except the Father draweth him. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Praise God. Let's bow our heads tonight. Again, and the Lord bless each one. If you have a need, just lift your hand to the Lord. The Lord bless you, the Lord bless you, the Lord bless you. God bless you. And I want to pray for wee Fred Russell tonight. He's been taken into hospital. He's not too well. It's a wee man I know from Dromore. Heavenly Father, we humbly and reverently bow before you tonight. And we come pleading the merits of your precious blood, the blood of the Lamb of God. We thank you that we have access because of the new and living way through the precious shed blood of the Lamb. Wash us afresh in the blood of the Lamb. Cover us with your blood. Sanctify us. We pray, fill us afresh with the Holy Spirit. Lord, I do take the Holy Ghost to help me right now. And I thank you that you will. I bind every work of the devil, every spirit that's contrary to the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I pray for every hand that's raised in this room tonight, that you will meet every single need, every request, in Jesus' precious name. Lord, we want to thank you for answered prayer this past week. We bless you, Lord, that you do hear and answer prayer. And we praise you and magnify you for it. Lord, we lift before you. We Fred Russell tonight. It's not well at this time. Lord, we just pray you'll touch him and you'll heal him and spur him and raise him up. In Jesus' precious name. Bless Brother Gary. Give him perfect liberty in the Holy Ghost tonight. Make him a blessing and have your way down there and here as well. Bless your word to their hearts. And Lord, for all those on holidays, bless them. Give them a time of refreshment and rest. In Jesus' precious name. And we pray again for the widows tonight in our fellowship. Bless each one of them, we pray. Strengthen them and be with them. In Jesus' precious name. We do pray again for Brother George, Sister Winifred, that you'll touch them and make them whole. And any others that's sick tonight, heal them, we pray. In Jesus' precious name, we ask these things. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. We know the word church. The word church means called out ones. That's what the word church means. And Israel was not the church of God while it was in Egypt. But when God called them out of Egypt, they became the church. Now that still remains today. The church is those that's called out. Called out. The word church means called out ones. In the Old Testament, the church was called the kingdom of God. God is a king. And the church in the Old Testament was his domain. And in the New Testament, it's called the Messianic Empire. That's what it's called in the New Testament. The Messianic Empire, the Messiah's Empire. Not a denomination. There's no barriers. The church is not a lodge. It's not an organization. But the people of God called out of the world to serve in another kingdom, God's mystical body, the bride of Jesus Christ. Now, we know that we are subjects of King Jesus. In Acts 7, verse 38, it says this. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness. That's what the word of God says. With the angel which spake to him in Mount Sinai, and our fathers who received the lively oracles to give unto us. So God, when he called them out, he called them out to be his people. They were a peculiar people. They were a chosen people. And remember, they were brought out with a mighty hand. And you know, every one of us was brought out with a mighty hand. Every one of us was lost in sin and iniquity. And God, in his mercy, delivered every one of us. And he saved us with a mighty hand. Some of us from all sorts of places and conditions, but all of us were lost. And he brought us out and saved us from Egypt, type of the world, and into the church. Praise God. 1 Corinthians 12, 13 says this. For by one spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made drink into one spirit. So we're baptized into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:23 says this. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. So I thank God that Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 12. For I'm jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. So the real church is a chaste virgin to Christ. Praise God. Let me read you from a quotation here this evening of it's paragraph 59, but let me read you tonight. God's church is free. God's church is bound by no boundaries, because from sea to sea, it's God's. Every human being under the earth belongs to him, whether he's been Catholic, Protestant, or whatever he is. God seeks those with an honest heart and were saved by faith, believing in him. That's the church. Now you see, the church is not an organization. And the time you see organization, just remember Antichrist. I wrote it over. It's Antichrist. That's as plain as I can read it. And he's saying he's plenty of friends and some churches and organizations. He's not saying they're Antichrist, but the church system is Antichrist. And there's a system in the world today, and it still surprises me how many preachers want to say, do we know who the Antichrist is? And you read their books and you read their theology teaching, and they'll tell you it's a Jew or it's this one or that one. But we know who he is. He sits on seven hills on a chair with a name, Vicarius Filii Dei, which means in place of the Son of God. That alone makes him Antichrist. And there's many more evidence to prove it. See, here Spurgeon, the Prince of Preachers, says, if you give any good solicitor the book of Revelations, he will absolutely prove that the Pope of Rome is the Antichrist spoken of in Revelations. That's what he says. Doesn't even need to be a minister. Good solicitor, he says, can prove it from the Bible. He's Antichrist. And I tell you, we heard this morning, and you know, we pray for them. We pray you can't pray for Rome to come out of her error. She won't come out of it. It's wrong. The Orange Order has a prayer they pray for Rome, which is false. I'll tell you that now. It's a false prayer. You cannot pray for the Church of Rome to come out of her error. She never will. A prophet of God said every single organization that organizes God never, ever revives it again. Never. He says, check the history books and it proves it. God moves on. He moves on. He calls people out of it, but he will not revive that organization. It's dead. He moves on. Amen. And there's many a good Catholic tonight, and there's good Catholic people that can be saved, and they're saved the way a Protestant's saved. Some people think because the Protestants are going to heaven, the name Protestant in the South won't take you to heaven if you're not born again. But a real Protestant is a Protestant. That's what a real Protestant means, a Protestant. He protests everything that's against Scripture. So therefore, we are the real Protestants. Amen. That's what we believe tonight. Now, you see, the church means called out. People governed only by the king of the messianic kingdom, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, another thing about this church, who set this church up? Jesus Christ set this church up. He is the king of this kingdom. There's no man set it up. When did it start? It started at the day of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost is an inauguration of the true church. The true church began on the day of Pentecost. And remember, the revelation that the church begins on is the same revelation she ends on. And that's how the church started. And we heard this morning, we cannot do away with the gifts of God because they're part of the Word of God. And if you throw the gifts out, you're throwing part of the Word out. You're saying you don't need it. But thank God for it. Now, the Pentecostal organization, not an organization we're talking about the real experience. And the Lord himself spoke of the coming outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Ever before he went to Calvary, he spoke of a time that would come when there would be a promise of the Father would come upon the people of God. Luke 24:49, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Acts 1 verse 8. But ye shall receive power. I tell you, that's what's lacking today. We need the power of God. The power of God. After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witness unto me both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. A coming kingdom witness of the coming witness of God's power. I was listening and reading some things this last week, I think it was, of T.L. Osborne. And T.L. Osborne was teaching a class. He had a school he ministered in to students. And he was telling them how they need the power of the Holy Spirit. And he related to his own self. And he said him and his wife, Daisy Osborne, went out to India. And they had a black book called the Bible. And out over there, they had a black book called the Quran. And he spoke from his black book, and they spoke from their black book. And him and his wife come home totally defeated. They were defeated. He says it himself. And he was afraid to go to William Branham's meetings because of his associates. They wouldn't have liked him going down there. Nothing's changed, has it? But he was afraid, you see, to go down. But his wife says to him, you're going down. It was his wife made him go down. And she made him go down. And the night he went down, there's a young girl that was blind. There was a devil cast out of one young person. And there's no struggle till it just happened. And then somebody was blind received their sight. And a voice went over T.L. Osborne's head and said, you can do it too. and said, you can't do the other, the discernment, but you can do the praying for the sick. And T.L. Osborne closed himself in with the Lord, and the Lord visited him and endued him with power. And he went back to India and he preached a simple gospel message, but at the end of it, he prayed for the sick. And he did a mass prayer. A mass prayer. And people got out of wheelchairs and off crutches and blinded eyes open and everything, because he learned that there's power. It's not a word only, but in power indeed. With, did the early church give witness to the resurrection of Jesus Christ? That's the true church. The true church of God is a church with power. Power. Holy Ghost power. Ephesians 1:22 says, and have put all things under his feet and give him to be the head over all things to the church. Who set the church up? Jesus Christ. Not the bishop. Not the Pope of Rome. But Jesus Christ set the true church up. Jesus Christ is the head of the true church. He shall be the center theme of the true church. He shall be the main focus of the true church. You imagine a head of that church getting up and saying, don't come to Jesus, come to me. Antichrist. That is Antichrist. A statement like that alone is Antichrist. Anyone that says you can have it without the Lord, it's an Antichrist statement. Even people now that say the great truth and they're saying they can redeem themselves, that's Antichrist teaching. We need the Lord. We need the Lord. Don't forget how he brought us out of Egypt. We could never bring ourselves out. Them children never brought themselves out. God brought them out with a mighty hand and a vindicated prophet. That's how they were brought out. With mighty signs and wonders going before them. And every obstacle they faced, God made it a possibility. The Red Sea, he opened it and they crossed over in dry ground. Colossians 1:17-18 says this, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. That means they are maintained. He maintains them. It's the Lord who maintains them. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the first beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. We heard this morning how that he raised from the dead. And because he's the firstborn, that means there's more to follow. He's the firstfruits of the resurrection of the dead. And because Jesus rose from the dead, those of us that's born again, his spirit's in us, we will raise. If we go to the grave, and we could go on the catching up, we might never go to the grave. But those that's in the grave are going to be raised out of it. Thank God for it. Now, what is the message of this true church in Luke 24:47? And the repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You know, a young man I was witness to recently, and he said, you know, there's a man who's meant to be a Christian, and he done this and he done that and he done something else. That was his excuse. But there's a day coming, God won't accept an excuse like that. The individual have to repent themselves. An excuse of he's not much of a Christian. It's Jesus they need to look at. He's the one. Amen? And I tell you, it's not going to be a good enough excuse to say, well, he was meant to be a Christian. God's not interested in talk like that. You know, I tell you, the Lord's real. Repentance. That's what the true church preaches. Not only does the true church preach repentance, the true church preaches Jesus is the same. They don't preach to change Jesus. They preach to Jesus it's the same. Because they believe Hebrews 13 verse 8. He's the same. Savior, a healer, and a baptizer of the Holy Ghost, and he's a coming king. 2 Peter 3 verse 9 says this, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance. The church preaches repentance. Like I said the other week, and there's a lot of things I won't read them, true repentance is what the church is to preach. True repentance. And true repentance is you're sorry for what you've done. And when God, somebody gets convicted and really comes to salvation, they're sorry. There's no problem. They're willing to repent. But somebody that says they're saved and they've never repented, you'd have to question it. Because if they're really saved, they really are repentant. And they've come to the Lord. Mark 16:16-18 says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That's the church. That's the true church. No, if you're a real believer, you signs and wonders follow the miracles. We don't follow signs and wonders, but the signs and wonders should follow the true believer. And God does more things for us than we realize. And I tell you, God answers prayer. If we have no vision, how can we, you know, say we're truly identification with Christ? We have to have a vision. We must have a vision. And we must put forth some sort of an effort to reach the lost in the dying world. We have to put forth an effort, because Jesus says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Every chance we get, we need a ticket. Not right. Amen. The message of the true church. See him yesterday and today and forever. Now, I'm not going to hold you as long tonight, but how do you join this true church? You can't join it. You can't join it. Now, I want you to get that tonight. How do you join it? There's no joining. You're born into it. You're born into it. How did you join the family you're in? You never did. You were born into it. You were born in McKinstry. You were born in McDowell. You were born in Cairns. You were born in Scott. You were born into that family. You never decided to join it. You knew nothing about it, but you were born into it. And when you call upon the name of the Lord, you're born into the kingdom of God. You're born again of the Spirit of God. And you're part of the family of God. And you've got a name that's above every name. Not wonderful. And just like a wife in marriage, or a girl that's getting married, when she takes a man's name, she becomes Mrs. McKinstry. Mrs. whatever the second name is. She takes a name. She gives up her own name and takes his name. And as Brother Gary said this morning, we can't have another name. We can't say we're Baptist or Methodist or Presbyterian. We're the Lord's. We're Christians. We're born again. None of them names matter. It's only his name that matters. Praise God. John 3, verse 1 to 7 tells us there's a man, the Pharisees, named Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou dost except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus saith unto him, How can I be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time in his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born in flesh is flesh, and that which is born in spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. It doesn't say join, it says born again. There's no join, it's been born. Amen. Been born again. And you know, you take a baby calf, it's the nature of a cow, because it's a small cow, really. And a cat's the nature, a kitten's the nature of a cat, because it's a small cat. It still is a cat, though it's a baby. And once you're born again in the Spirit of God, you get a new nature. The Bible says, old things pass away, and all things become new. You get God's nature, the new nature, because you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. And you can say with Paul the Apostle, it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. When you get the new nature and you're born again. 1 Corinthians 12 verse 13 says, For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, we've been all made to drink into one Spirit. When you're born again, when you become part of the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit, you have a guarantee of the resurrection. A guarantee of the resurrection once you're born again. Because of the precious blood of Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, all our sins were placed on him. He took them on himself at Calvary. Therefore, there's no condemnation to them that's in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:1 tells us that. We'll not be judged for our sins of our past, because Jesus took our judgment on himself. And because we've accepted him and his blood's washed us from the sins of our past, how can we be judged on them when he was judged for us in our place? He's been judged for us, so we're justified. Justified. And that means as though you never done it in the first place. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that some stand tonight? Now you could join something, but it would never justify you. You could belong to something, but you'd never be born again. But when you belong to Jesus Christ, you repent and you're born again. You're part of the mystical body of God and the kingdom of God. And you have a Father tonight that hears you when you pray. You know, God hears when you pray. And I tell you, God answers prayer. Only a sinner saved by grace. This is my story. To God be all the glory. I'm only a sinner saved by grace. It's not every one of our testimonies tonight that we're only a sinner saved by grace. Not just saved, but sanctified also. Hebrews 13, verse 12. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. The Lord suffered without the gate. You know, we need to go on with God, not just justified and sanctified, but God's people need to receive a mighty baptism of the Holy Spirit. Going on with God. Getting closer to the Lord. Acts 1. You could read Acts 19, verse 1 to 6. And you could read, for they were filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized. And you could read Acts 2, 37 to 38. Let me read it, because I don't want to hold you as long. And when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. See, Peter preached them. You took Jesus and you crucified him with wicked hands. And then they said, what will they do? And then Peter says, repent ye therefore, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to them that's afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Now, if you can't come if God doesn't call you. So the promise is to you. It's to me tonight. We can have the same Holy Spirit they had. Because there's only one Holy Spirit. We don't want a different spirit. We want the Holy Spirit. You know the thing about the Holy Spirit? It will do what it says, make you holy. Because it's the Holy Spirit. It will convict you of sin and unrighteousness. It will want you to live clean to God. And if you do things wrong, it will convict you because of the Holy Spirit. Romans 8 and 29 says this, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Can we get to heaven without being in the true church? No, you can't. You can't get to heaven without being in the true church. Now I'm not talking about some denominational building, I'm talking about the church of God, that you're born, not the church of God on a building somewhere, the real Bible church of God. He's coming for his true church, the bride. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 14 to 18. We heard about this morning. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also asleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. It's not wonderful. This is the word of the Lord. That we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or hinder them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. And I think John mentioned the clouds this morning as well. To meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. The Lord's coming for us. You think of it, we're going to go up into the cloud. We're getting out of here. We're leaving. And the thing about it is, we're not going today. They're going. They're coming out first. All those that were loved, that are saved, that are born again, they're coming out first. And then we with them, we're going to be caught up to meet the Lord. We're going to meet again. There's going to be a reunion. A reunion. And you think of it, what Brother John said this morning about Moses and Elijah. What age were they up there? There were no age. There was no time. Time shall be no more. You see, time and eternity blended and met at Calvary. And death and hell met. Death and life met. And life conquered death. And Paul said, O death, where is thy sting, O grave? Where is thy victory? It's swallowed up at Calvary. Jesus Christ conquered it. And we're going to be raised victorious. Praise God. We're going to meet again. There's going to be a reunion. This is a short time. Even if we live to 100, it's a blink. It's a short time. Think of it. We live and reign with Christ on this earth 1,000 years. The thing that no man can do, we're going to do. We're going to live and reign with the Lord 1,000 years. And then there's more after that. It's wonderful what the Lord has in store for us. This is only the training ground for what's coming. just say a couple more things and I'm going to close and our brother Mark's going to come. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51 to 55. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. And look what a brother said this morning. You'll not have to worry about what you're wearing. God will just change you. Amen? He'll make you ready to go. He'll change you. You'll not have to worry about anything. I'm telling you, by changing your shoes, your dress, your coat, he'll take you as you are. And you're going to get a new coat. Hallelujah. A new coat, a body change. Glory to God. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The Lord's coming for his people. He's coming for his people. You know, it was a great illustration that William Branham used about the bee. And he said, when the bee stings you, it leaves a stinger in you. Then it dies. It's lost its sting. And the devil lost his sting in Jesus Christ on the cross. And he has to die because of it. Hallelujah. But even though Jesus died, he rose again from the dead. He was victorious over death, over hell, and over the grave. And he ever liveth tonight to make intercession for his saints. Let's stand to our feet. And we're going to pray again. Then our brother Mark's going to come. Praise God. And the Lord, wonderful. What a time. The Lord's coming for us. He's coming. Some of us might never see death. You know, things happen in life that you never expect, but just the rapture will be the same. The catching up will be the same. It could happen when you're not even expecting it. And you're going to go. You're going to go. You don't know where any of us could be. You could be out shopping. You could be at your work. I don't know. But the Lord will take you. The Lord will take you. I tell you, just like Enoch, the Lord took him. And he was not. For the Lord took him. Hallelujah. Let's close our eyes again tonight. If you want more prayer, just lift your hand again to the Lord this evening. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Jesus is coming again. Heavenly Father, we thank you this evening for the lovely Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, you've conquered death. You've conquered hell. You've conquered the grave. And you have a true church and a true people. Lord, I pray again for the hands raised in this house tonight, that you'll touch the body. Heal those that need a healing touch. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, confirm your word with signs and with wonders and with divers miracles in the name of thy holy child, Jesus. Lord, we pray for every daughter and every son, every aunt, every uncle, every niece and every nephew. We claim them under the precious blood of the Lamb of God tonight. We pray you'll save them, everyone. Deliver them and set them free. Lord, you know those that's near and dear in hearts tonight. Maybe a daughter out wild and astray or a son. We claim them this evening. We plead the merits of the blood over them. We rebuke the devil over them. And we claim them for the kingdom of God tonight. And we pray that you'll save them and deliver them. In Jesus' precious name. Lord, for those that listen in to the messages each week, bless them and strengthen them. Touch those tuning in that need a miracle, grant them it, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, you sent your word and you healed them and delivered them. We thank you today for the message this morning. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your provision. We thank you for your blessings running down, pressed over the top. We pray you continue to meet needs for each one in this house and just have your way amongst us. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Next Sunday evening then, as our brother Mark comes, and the Lord bless each one. Let's just keep praying, you know. It'll be back to normal in a few weeks when all the praying's over. Praise God. But we still want to keep an eye out for somewhere. And just keep praying. Amen. The Lord bless you.
Amen. We'll sing that one, Jesus was slain for me. Amen.
Jesus was slain for me. My birth.